Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope it's been a really great day for you. Well, here's a question for you. Is it time for you to make a move? Do you sense the winds of change blowing? Maybe you have a desire to live in bold confidence, but fear, insecurity, even self-preservation, they're holding you back. Well, today my guest is Proverbs 31 Ministry speaker Lynn Cowell. She joins me to talk about her new six-session Bible study, Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. And just at the outset, I want you to know, we've got three copies of this Bible study book and love to get one into your hands. You can enter the drawing this way. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Make Your Move in the subject line so we know this is the book you're looking for. And don't forget that mailing address. Now, another side note caveat here. We receive so many emails that we can't possibly reply to everyone. We can't reply to tell you we've received your email or even to tell you if you want or not. The way that you know is you get a book in your mailbox within about the next week. And I hope you do win because it's a really great book. A couple quick announcements first. I want you to know we are giving away an Action Study Bible this week, every week this month. It's a gift for your child or your grandchild. It just combines this book, biblical text and colorful comic book style illustrations. And all you have to do is sign up to win on our website at myfaithradio.com. We're giving away one Action Study Bible each week for this month of May. Enter to win at myfaithradio.com. Also, do remember that we've got an upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference coming up this summer. We're telling you about it now because we have a limited number, I should say, of one-on-one appointments, and we are bringing in an A-list faculty, and I mean it when I say editors, agents, experts in the field, and I pray you'll join us. We are going to have an epic time. You can check out more information on its own website. It's Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. .com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lynn Cowell is a national conference speaker and author with Proverbs 31, she's passionate about helping women of all ages understand the importance of Christ confidence. She's the author of several books, including Make Your Move, which we're talking about today. She and her husband, Greg, have been married over 30 years. They're the parents of three young adults, and they live with their family in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sorry, tripped over that one. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Looking forward to the conversation, Lynn. And we'd love to start out by talking scripture. You chose Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Talk about that passage, why you chose it.
You know, I think that culture sends us many messages about what we should build our confidence on and what we should go for in life in order to feel successful and purposeful. But God's word tells us that there's only one place that we can build a confidence that we can't lose, and that is on Christ. If we would choose to build our confidence on anything else, we can lose any of those things or have them taken from us at any time.
Isn't that the truth? And that can be sobering, but it's we need to hear it now sooner than later so that we're going to actually talk about that as the conversation evolves, that how do you shift your weight, move from trying to stand on things that can shake beneath you to standing on the rock. Before we do that, though, let's get to some backstory on your faith journey and specifically how the theme of confidence emerged in your life.
Well, for me, I began at what I call an interactive relationship with Christ as a young person. My mother began to follow Christ in her middle 30s, and she began to share him with us. And so as a young person, I also started a relationship with Christ. But as happens to many of us, as we grow older, the things of life that we go through can shake who we believe we are, who we think that we are. And for me, those kinds of things came in building a career. And as I began to experience a lot of rejection in the field I was in, I saw that my confidence would be high one day. I would feel great about where I was going and the things I was accomplishing, only to find myself the next day feeling like I had to scrape myself up off the floor. And I really believe that that's not what God wanted for me, to have such a roller coaster confidence. And so a couple of years, that's when I began to really dig into God's word and see what did his word have to say about building an unshakable confidence, because he himself is an unshakable God.
Mm. Oh, very, very good. Okay, in the book, you open with a story about a time when your daughter, when she was young, she dreamt and even shared it with you, we are going to jump out of a plane someday. And you kind of humored her thinking, yeah, we'll talk about that later. But eventually the time came. Tell us that story.
Yeah, when my youngest child, Maddie, was 13, she got this bright idea that she wanted to go skydiving. And, you know, I thought it was humorous, even warm, that that was something that she wanted to do with me. But, you know, there's a long time between 13 and when you can legally skydive at 18. And so I would kind of smile and joke around with her and say, oh, yeah, that sounds great. How fun. Thinking that, you know, as a teenager, she would get over it. But as her 18th birthday began to approach, she started using words like, you promised. And that's when I absolutely knew I was in trouble. While I tried to get her brother to fill in for me, that didn't work. And the day of her birthday, somebody had to jump, and that person had to be me.
How did it go? I mean, you were so terrified, but how did it go?
It was every single moment up until that time when we're drifting through that blue Carolina sky, I was terrified. But once I was there and seeing God's creation from that standpoint, there is nothing like it. And Susie, if you said, hey, let's you and I do it tomorrow, I would take you up on it.
Wow, I'm impressed. I might have to do it. Okay, I'll talk about it later. Well, you say Jesus is our jumper, and our first move in obtaining unshakable confidence then is to secure ourselves to him. Say more if you would.
Well, you know, the day that I went skydiving, they have you attach yourself to an expert jumper. He has jumped over and over and over again, thousands of times. And so we were connected at our shoulders and at our hips and down by our thighs. And right before we jumped, he pulled all those connections even tighter. And as I began to reflect back on what it took to jump that day, I had never jumped before. I didn't know anything about jumping. But when I was connected to that expert, he whispered in my ear the entire time everything that I needed to be successful, to know what it would take, to not hurt myself. And as long as I listened to him and followed his instructions, the jump was absolutely amazing. And it made me think about how Jesus himself, when he left, said, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to have to do this jump by yourself. I'm going to give you an expert helper. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And so when we are intentional each day to connect ourselves to him through God's word, through prayer, through worship, then we can hear his voice in our ear all day long saying, pull here, turn there, do this. And he will guide us to fulfill the potential God has for us in our individual jumps in our lives.
It's such a great analogy, Lynn. And how are you different after making that jump? Let me ask you that.
Well, definitely I found myself being braver in the weirdest ways. That same summer, we had two fawns born in our backyard, and I couldn't get them to go away. And it was extremely hot, and I could see that they were becoming dehydrated. And I began contacting all kinds of people. And finally, the last person said, you need to pick those fawns up and take them outside your yard so they can find their mother. And that is not something I would have ever done before, to pick up a little baby deer. So something small like that, but more so, it's also taught me about making my move with God, that just as that day, the jumper wasn't going to let me hurt myself. Yes, I may be terrified and I may be scared and I may not have the confidence to do whatever God is asking me to do. I have found that so many times, and maybe you have too, Susie, that's exactly where he wants us. He wants us at a place where we don't have what it takes to do what he's calling us to do, because then we have to be dependent upon him.
You know, it's so true. And the reason I asked how you're different is because you jumped, you trusted God, really, and you had this wonderful metaphor of this jumper who's with you. You now have not only a history in some physical adventure, but you have a history with God. And I feel like when we're willing to take some of those leaps of faith, when we're secured to the Holy Spirit, secured to Jesus, and then we dare to make the move, we dare to go where we may be afraid to go, and we get to the other side, nobody can steal that experience from us. Suddenly we've got some equity in our history with God. And again, nobody can take that from us. And I feel like when you've lived long enough with the Lord, I mean, the enemy will sow doubts here and there, but you just know that you know. You've got a history, and that's hugely valuable, isn't it?
It sure is. In fact, I talk in Make Your Move about rehearsing your history with God. So if it, when there comes times in my life where I just feel that nudging of the Holy Spirit of, you know, Lynn, this is what I want you to do next, and it makes me uncomfortable, I may even feel scared, I will purposely go back and rehearse God's faithfulness in my life. I will remind myself, when I was at this crossroads, this is how he met me. And when I was in this situation where I saw no answers, he brought the answer. And I begin to remind my heart and my mind of when he's been faithful before. And I can literally feel and sense my faith rising for whatever I'm facing.
Talking to Lynn Cowell today, we're going to pause here, take a break. But I want you to know her book title is Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. If that sounds like a study that you are up for and in for, this book is just great. You've got some stories, she's got some fill-in-the-blank places, and then there's the actual video online available as well. Brain freeze just for a moment. Email me, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, Lynn, I'd love for you to speak to that person who senses change is before them, but they're petrified of failure, of making a mistake. What advice would you give them? Think about that for a moment. We'll be back in just a moment. Love that song. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lynn Cowell. She wrote the book. It's a book Bible study titled Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. And before the break, Lynn, I just asked you to think about this question for a moment, but I'd love for you to speak to the person who senses changes before them, but they're petrified of failure, petrified of making a mistake. What would you say to them?
You know, when I first felt and sense that God was moving me toward this new move in my life, which was writing and speaking, it was not anything I was familiar with at all. I didn't have any experience with it. I don't have a college education to go with it. From the outside looking in, every single aspect of my life screamed unqualified. And yet I still sensed that that was what he was asking me to do. And do you know what I experienced over and over and over again, Susie? Failure. Even though that's what God was calling me to do, from all practical purposes, what I began to experience as I made that move was failure. I was rejected 19 times over a 5-year period of time. But the thing
I got to pause here. I'm so glad that you're saying that, just because people will look at you and go, okay, she works for a major ministry, she's published by a major house. And yet, hear that, friends, 5 years of trying and not giving up, 19 rejections. Okay, take it from there.
You know, and sometimes I handled those rejections really well. You know, I did the whole Christianese kind of thing, you know, God's got this, God's timing is right. But I'll be honest, I remember vividly one time crawling up on the floor of my kitchen in a fetal position and just crying and asking the Lord, why did you ask me to do this? And what I have been learning my whole life, because you know what, there is really no quote unquote arrival when you're walking with the Lord, because each time that you come to a new place with him, he's only going to draw you to another new place. He's only going to ask you to come out deeper into the water of experiencing what full dependence on his Holy Spirit looks like. And so what I've begun to do in my life is to redefine failure. Failure no longer necessarily is how does even my industry quantify or qualify success, but instead, what am I learning? The thing that God was doing in my life over those 5 years was he was stripping me of me. I was a person who have and still struggle with pride, with ego, with independence. And that doesn't work very well in God's kingdom. He can't use us when we think more of ourselves than we should. And so for me, I'm having to redefine failure. And if God asks me to do something and the outcome is not what I hope for, then I have to begin to look for and believe, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you want to do in me that's more important than whatever success would have been defined by?
Amen. You said that with all those rejections you received, they all felt very personal to you. And I feel like that is part of the process. Our setbacks, failures, the delays, they all feel personal to us. So how do you sort through those feelings so you can get back up again?
Oh, they do feel personal because the first questions that start going on inside of our minds is, you know, where am I short? What am I lacking? What do I not have? And again, I think that that's the time in our life when instead we begin to ask the Lord, what is it that you have for me now that you are holding back from me in this other situation? I've been experiencing rejection again. I mean, it's not like it's something that goes away. And in the recent few months when I've been experiencing it again, I have been rehearsing in my mind over and over again in Revelation 3:17, where it tells us that he opens a door that no man can shut. And he also will shut doors that no man can open. And so again, if I have believed in his faithfulness, I've seen his faithfulness in the past, then I can trust his wisdom in each and every situation that comes up in my life.
Mm. And so to that person who senses change and they're petrified of failure and making mistake, your point is, if you're getting a call, if you get the sense from the Lord, this is what you need to do, you leave the outcomes in his hands and you keep following his lead, right?
Exactly. And not that long ago, I had what I would call a failure in my life. And it was a pretty expensive failure. It cost me like $5,000. And I was lamenting to my friend about, you know, if I had only had more knowledge, if I wouldn't have, you know, made these ridiculous assumptions that I had made. And she said to me, Lynn, every time we learn something, it will cost something. In your situation, it costs $5,000. That's not that much for what you learned. It will cost us our energy. It will cost us our time. Sometimes it will cost us how we feel about ourselves. You know, we may come out of a situation embarrassed. But every time, instead of seeing those as a failure, we can ask God to help us instead to see, what are you trying to teach me and what can I learn from this?
Hmm. Here's another excerpt from your book. You write, today, tune in to when this fear is trying to speak to you. Ask the Lord to set off an alarm in your mind, alerting you to when fear's voice is attempting to dictate your actions. When you feel fear trying to pull you under, speak this verse over your heart. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. I like that you say, you know, tune in and then ask God to set off an alarm, because there's times fear is dictating and driving us, and without us even realizing, that's what's driving us, you know?
Well, I think that we've grown accustomed to the voice of fear, and it sounds pretty friendly. It sounds like ourself. You know, our voice and fear, they sound sometimes so similar that it sounds like it actually is us. And if we can instead begin to recognize, what does fear sound like? Fear is limiting. Fear holds you back. Fear wants to keep you where you are. Whereas there's a verse in the Bible, I can't quote the place right now, but it says that you bring me into a spacious place. And I just love that. That's what God has for us. He has freedom for us. He wants us to reach our full potential. And so if something is holding us back, you know, we should ask ourselves, is this fear? And if what we are feeling is fear, then that is absolutely not a reason to ever say no to something.
Hmm. Can you think of a time in your own life when you sensed that? You sensed, again, it was time to make your move. Fear reared its head. The giants appeared in the land. And what did you do next?
I can definitely think of times when I gave into that fear and I didn't do what I sensed God had for me. And, you know, it wasn't long until I could see where I had missed out, where he had something for me. And because I allowed that fear to call the shots in my life, I missed out. On the other side of that, last year, when I received this offer to write this Bible study, Make Your Move, at the exact same time, I received an offer to write a book for young girls, ages 8 to 12. And I looked at both of those contracts and I thought, there's no way I can write two books simultaneously. You know, writing one book is enough. And so I sat down at my computer to write out an email back to the book for the young girls and just say, thank you, but I am not capable of doing this. When I felt like the Holy Spirit just say, you never asked me. Never once did you come and ask me if I was in this or how I feel about it. And so I stepped away from my computer and I went to a quiet place and I began to read my Bible. And I absolutely cannot tell you how I ended up there. But in Romans 15, I saw a verse that I don't recall seeing before. And I've read through my Bible before, but you know those times, Susie, where they just kind of like leap off the pages?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love those.
Well, that's what happened. And in Romans 15, it said that I am the God of encouragement and endurance. Mm. And I've studied the names of God. I have never before recall hearing him called the God of endurance. But that's exactly what I felt like he was saying to me. I've got this. These two assignments are actually from me. And yes, they are on purpose because you will have to rely on me in a way you never have before. And so I did end up saying yes to both of those books and Brave Beauty released last year as well.
Wow. And your approach, I'm sure that God cultivated a deep dependence to write two books at the same time. We're going to break here in about 40 seconds, but how did that approach change or shift for you?
It what I had to end up learning from the Holy Spirit was how to say no.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at that before, but you know what? I've learned pretty good now how to say no.
Mm-hmm. And that's a precious gift so that you can say capital yes, right?
Absolutely.
My mentor always says that if it's not a capital yes, it's a no. I think it's brilliant advice. Talking to Lynn Kahl today, her book is titled Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. Email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. I'll be back in a minute. Pondered what that means. The same power that rose Christ from the grave is alive in us, available to us. You know, A.W. Tozer said, since that's true, we should be some of the most amazing people on the planet. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Proverbs 31 speaker and author Lynn Cowell. Her book is titled Make Your Move. It's actually a Bible study book. Subtitle is Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. And you talk about how our courageous acts inspire courageous acts in other people. Talk about the importance of just stewarding our story in a way that inspires others.
Well, you know, when I began to study women in the Bible, And I thought about how reading through their stories was inspiring me. I thought about how it's like a chain of courage. So if you would look at Exodus chapter 1, the midwives, Shipra and Pua, they demonstrated such courage to go against Pharaoh. And then Jochebed, Moses' mother, saw the acts that they did, and it caused her to be courageous and to save the life of Moses. And then her daughter, Miriam, watches her mother be so brave to go against the ruler of all of the land. And I see a chain there from Shipra and Pua to Jochebed to Miriam. And I think that the same is true in our lives, that there are constantly people watching us, whether it's a family chain, you know, as mothers and fathers and grandparents and aunts and uncles, that those within our family are watching every day what we do. And are we being courageous and bold and doing the scary things? Or are we allowing fear to hold us back from following God's callings or even experiencing the richness in this life?
Hmm. You know, I'm amazed that you mentioned two of my faith heroes. The three that I mention often are Harriet Tubman, Catherine Booth, and Corey Ten Boom. And you mentioned Harriet and Catherine.
Wow.
So talk about those two and what they mean to you and how they've impacted your faith walk.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, as believers, we look through scripture and that is absolutely inspiring. But I also knew that there were many, many, you know, this Bible study is directed toward women. So there were also women who have gone before us in modern times. And those women in particular stand out to me because they were justice fighters. They were the women who, you know, Harriet Tubman, who looked for those who needed help, who were the invisible, who were the silent, and she risked her life for them. And as my daughters were growing up, I'd like to expose them to those type of courageous people. And I think that it had an impact because today both of my daughters are social work majors. They're both a part of, you know, bringing social justice to those who need advocates in their lives.
Wow. And Catherine Booth, too, what an amazing story she has. Well, all right. So in your chapter titled Stuck, you tell the story about a time when you landed a job you felt in over your head. Appreciated the honesty around this story. If you don't mind, tell us that story.
So I had moved to a big city, a city that I grew up in, a small town in Iowa. Yay, Cedar Falls, mm-hmm. Iowa. And I had moved to a big city, and I needed a bigger job to fund this big move I had made. And so I had found obtained an interview with a job, and I felt pretty sure that I knew that, you know, I had the skills, but the closer I got to it and understanding what was required, I knew I was in over my head. And I had been offered the job, I accepted the job, but in between that time period, from when I was given the job to the day I showed up, the message just kept going over and over inside my head. What have you done? You don't have what it takes. You're going to be in big trouble. And so before I started, the day that I was to start my job, I walked into the human resources department and told them, I'm not qualified. Do you have something else for me? And sure enough, they did. And instead of having the, you know, job with the desk and the outfit and the title, I ended up working in a warehouse.
And how do you feel looking back? Do you feel like you truly were in over your head, or did fear talk you out of it?
You know, I think that there were skills I was lacking, but I didn't lack the ability to learn. And I think that's where I let the voice of fear become more powerful than it should have been. Because I feel sure that if I had gone to the company and said, I need a little more help here learning the skills I need to perform this job, I think they would have recognized that I had what it took to learn it rather than allowing fear to call that shot instead.
I appreciate you telling that story, Lynn. Love for you now to speak to that person who's talked themselves out of so many things. They actually wonder if there's any way forward for them.
Well, you know, the other day, I'm in a process right now of making another big decision in my life. And I was talking to a friend about I'm scared to take this leap. What if it goes wrong? And she said, well, I'll guarantee you that if you don't take it, you're going to stay exactly where you are. That's
wow.
guaranteed.
Hmm.
And that really spoke to me that if I want to grow, if I want to see the potential that God has in this new opportunity, I have two choices. I can either stay exactly where I am, and that's guaranteed, or I can put my hand in his and say, okay, God, either this is going to turn out the way that I think it is, or it's going to be another learning lesson between me and you, and that will be worth it. You know what? It's easy to say, but even as I talk about it, my insides are trembling a little bit. And I think that sometimes we get confused. And we think that if we feel uncomfortable about something, then that means it's not God. And I haven't found that to be true. Yeah. Yes, the Holy Spirit does give us warning lights. When I was little, my mom taught me, and this is maybe oversimplifying it, but she said, Lynn, this is how you know if it's God. If you know, you know, it's like a stoplight. Red is a light from God saying, no, absolutely, don't go down here, don't do that. Or it may be a yellow light, a warning that says you need more information. You need to wait a little bit and cultivate this. Or it's a green light and God is telling you, you know, absolutely to go. But I think that sometimes in life when we have that yellow light, that we get confused and think that fear is actually, you know, God saying, hold up, when that's not it at all. Just because we feel a little scared of something, that doesn't mean it's not God.
Mm, very good. Someone needed to hear that today. And you're right. Sometimes we have to do what we need to do, even when we don't have the confidence to do it. And the process
Absolutely.
Of doing the things we need to do when we don't have the confidence to do it is what actually helps us find the confidence we need. In other words, courage is really convenient and we acquire it as we go, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I saw that over and over again as I studied these women in the Bible, women like Rahab. There's no way she could have had the faith she needed to have at that moment. She had to have done it scared because she didn't already have any type of places where she had seen God faithful. And yet she took that first scary step and invited the spies in and then hung that red cord out the window day after day after day until she saw that promise fulfilled.
Mm. Any other stories that you explore in the study that stand out to you, Lynn?
My absolute favorite story is what I've affectionately called the Daughters of Zee. And these are the daughters of Zelophehad. Their story is told in Numbers 27. One of the things that I really liked exploring in this book is women's stories who, you know, we haven't heard a bazillion times. Ruth and Esther, they're awesome, but they have their own books, right? And so it's kind of nice to look at other people. And so the daughters of Zelophehad were a group of five daughters who their dad had come out of Egypt across the wilderness. And when it was time for actually the land to be divided up among the Israelites, Zelophehad had passed away. And these women had no father, no brothers, no husbands, and no sons. And in that time period, the tradition called for the land to be divided up among the tribes of Israel. So if you read the chapter before, Numbers 26, you see the list is a man after a man after a man after a man. And so the daughters of Zee, they said that we shouldn't be bypassed just because we don't have a man in our family. And if you go back to Genesis 15, when God said that the land was to be given to Abraham's descendants, there isn't anything in there that says it's to Abraham, the men in Abraham's line. It just says Abraham's descendants. And so these five women go before Moses, of all people, talk about being intimidated. These five women go before Moses and the entire tribe and say, give us land. And Moses then goes before God, and God says, they're absolutely right. They should have a portion of land just like everyone else. And talk about game changers and difference makers. Not only do they get the land, but it changed the way land would be distributed from then on out.
Wow. You think of the people who were game changers throughout our history. they identified a problem and said, this isn't right. Something has to be done here. And that's what brings awareness. And the kind of courage that takes is phenomenal. And you say that God sometimes orchestrates circumstances just to keep us dependent on him. And as I was thinking about that, someone who may be new in the faith or have no faith at all that stumbled on the dial to hear that may think, well, that seems self-serving of God. But it actually is a very loving thing for him to do because we are safest when we're most dependent on him. Unpack that a bit for the person maybe who doesn't quite understand the concept.
Well, as humans, the way that we're created, we have an innate sense of survival. Of that, you know, I've got to do what it takes to survive, to get things done. And so when left to our own devices, that's what we're going to rely on. We're going to, and in fact, we're taught that growing up. We're taught to identify and then develop our talents, our gifts, and our skills. And yet, when that is the focus of our life, when that is the focus of where we're putting our energy, we can completely get through most any day doing only what we are capable of doing in our own strength. And as humans, that can be a whole lot because he has created us to be amazing and bright creatures. But if instead he allows us to get into situations and places in life where we are in over our head, where it is above the current amount of experience and strength and knowledge that we have, then it forces us to get into a place of where we have to be dependent upon him. And just as we mentioned earlier, we as believers have the strength of the resurrection Christ living in us. So that is his greatest desire for us, is to allow that power to filter through and to work through in our life rather than us simply relying on the limited power that we have in ourselves.
We're going to pause here for our final break. And when we come back, Lynn, I want you to talk about this, the idea that stuck and stopped are not the same thing. Maybe you feel stuck, maybe you feel stopped. Lynn says they're not the same thing. Neither are a problem for God, though. Talking to Lynn Cowell, title of her book, Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. We'll be back in a minute. The Wind by Bethel Music. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Lynn Cowell today. Title of her book / Bible study is Make Your Move, Finding Unshakable Confidence Despite Your Fears and Failures. We've got a few copies to give away. And if you listen off enough, you know the drill. But if you're new, you don't. So let me tell you, you can email to get in on the drawing, livethepromise at myfaithradio.com. Put Make Your Move in that subject line because we give away books every day, both hours of the show. And then don't forget the mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you will win, and you'll know that when the book arrives in your mailbox. And again, we're not able, because of the volume of emails we receive, not able to reply individually to each one. So I do hope you win, though. Okay, Lynn, so here's another excerpt from your book that I'd love to have you comment on. You say, in life, there will be times when we have to do what we need to do, even when we don't have the confidence to do it. This is a perfect setup for God to show up. Stuck and stopped are not the same to him. He can and will help us make our move. So talk about that stuck and stopped are not the same to him.
So we've been talking over the last few minutes about coming up against times in our life where we feel like we don't have what it takes to take those next steps, or fear is standing in front of us and we're not quite sure how to overcome it. And when we get into those kind of positions where, you know, we feel like we've reached a dead end, we can feel stuck. We don't know the steps to take, or we don't feel like we have the courage that we need. And that's okay, because when we get to that place of being stuck, sometimes that's exactly what we need to get quiet, to begin to just analyze and take a look at where we're at and what is going on in our life. And when we were talking earlier about the daughters of Zelophehad, that's where they were at. They were stuck. They did not have what they needed to get land, to not be homeless. And when they reached that point, they had a choice. Others would not have seen that they had a choice to the way that it appeared, that they were stuck. There was nothing they could do, but there actually was, because when they got to that place and when we get to that place, we have a choice. We can listen to what culture says about our situation. We can listen to what our own mind is telling us about our situation, or we can begin to soak our heart and our mind in the truth of God's word, and we can choose to allow faith to fuel our heart instead of fear. And then when we reach that point, then we can rest until God reveals the next step for us to become unstuck. When a person reaches a point of where they're stopped, there's no going anywhere. They've come to a dead end, and they are not open to hearing God help them to find a new place, or they don't want to do what it takes to overcome the fear to get to a place where they're not stopped any longer.
So there's a difference there. So you feel stuck, but you long for an opening. God can and will make a way. And sometimes, in fact, I'd say oftentimes, as we talked about at the open of the show, we place our confidence in the wrong things. And you're right. We must not build our confidence on someone, someplace, or something, only on God. He's the only one that cannot be taken from us. And as I thought about that, I thought, this sounds good, and it is completely true. It sounds good, and it's true. But I would say the process of detaching your confidence from those things can be downright painful and grueling, because we learn those things through crisis when the ground shakes and we realize I cannot be attached to people, places, things, because they're not in a way that's validating me, in a way that's where I'm trying to find my security. Talk about that, because it's a necessary process, but it can be painful and even involve some kind of loss at times.
Absolutely. Yes, as I have walked along friends who have experienced divorce. My closest, dearest friend, when she was married, sometimes I would ask her questions, and it was almost like she couldn't think for herself. She would say things like, well, let me ask my husband and I'll get back with you on simple things. And then she became divorced, and while that was horrific to walk along beside her, I also saw a new woman emerge. Not only did she begin to discover her own self and how she thought about things, but I also saw that as she became more dependent on God, she became a stronger, braver, more courageous woman than she had ever been before. Would I ever wish that on my friend again? Absolutely not. Is she an amazing woman today as a result of going through that pain? She absolutely is. And so I agree with you, whether it's, losing that someone that we had our dependence and our confidence in, or our someplace, such as a job or a home or a financial situation or something. For many nowadays, it's our education and where we feel that will take us. All of those things we can lose or have taken from us. And when we go through that, that is when we do find that Christ is the only thing that really, truly is secure and stable.
Mm-hmm. And we touched on this, but I'd love to expound on it a bit more here. You know, you talked about that rejection still comes even after you've experienced a success a time or two. And I love Winston Churchill's famous quote. He says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts, which I think is just awesome. But I feel like this idea that we can still experience rejection even if we've experienced success a time or two, it's an illusion to think anybody's arrived. That just because there are new challenges, new mountains to climb. So this is what I'd love to know is, advice you have for the listener today, how to live freely so they're not always bracing for impact, yet how to live wisely so that they're quickly aware of when they're looking to things for their confidence. You know what I'm saying? Like that narrow path of going, I am not going to be bracing for impact, looking for another rejection, waiting for the sky to fall, but I'm also not going to just think for a moment that because I've acquired some success, I got this, because that's dangerous. Take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. So strike a healthy balance for us, if you would.
as you were talking, Susie, I had in my mind a mental picture, and that mental picture was me sitting with my hands open, and I'm praying and I'm asking God for the things that I want to see in my life, the things I want to see in the lives of my children and in my husband and in the ministry that he's called me to. And with faith, I'm believing for those things. I'm believing that, you know, he wants to bring his best to me. And then at the same time, knowing that sometimes the what I think is his best, my wisdom and his wisdom, not often do they necessarily line up together. And so that mental picture I had in my mind of me just standing there with my hands open, it was hands open as in, Father, if this is what you have for me, this is what I want. This is what I think is good. But if you don't, my hands are wide open for you to add to or take away in your great wisdom. You know, one of the things that I pray almost every day, and I think I pray it so much because I lack it so much, is the verse in James 1:5 that says that if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God, and he will give it to us liberally. And I don't know about you, but I am a girl who I lack wisdom in more places than I wish. But the great thing is God is always willing to give me wisdom in those places where I lack it.
Such a good God that way. Yeah, he never faults us for asking. It's an amazing thing. I feel like that promise in James is one of the best kept secrets in the Bible, and that he's happy to lavish wisdom on those who ask for it. One last question before we wrap and pray here. You said God may allow change on the outside in order for us to change on the inside. And I think someone needs to hear that today. Maybe things are changing around you. You're wanting to grab for some kind of security. But what if God's in it? So hear this again. God may allow change on the outside in order for us to change on the inside. Each change brings another opportunity for us to change our perspective. And then we'll see Jesus in ways we haven't before. I wonder if you'd speak to that person who's at first panicking because things are changing on the outside. But God's after some kind of internal change and a shift in perspective so they can experience him. Say a word if you would.
When I first began to experience that was in the early years of my young adult life. And I was in a relationship that I knew confidently it was going to head toward marriage. And that is not the avenue that it took at all. And during that time period, my whole world felt like it was flipping upside down and it was going, you know, in every direction I didn't want it to. But what God was doing in my life then was just the beginnings of this finding confidence and security in him. And what he was calling me to at the end of that relationship was to spend a time period where 100% of my focus was on him. And he wanted me to change. He wanted to change my perspective of where I was looking for to have that love gap in my heart filled. You know, as a little girl, I had looked to my daddy and then I had looked to a boyfriend, but he was trying to teach me that only he could fill that love gap in my heart. And so in order to change my perspective, he had to change my environment. He had to change what was happening in my life to put me in a place where I could learn what he needed me to know.
Well, Lynn, we've got just about 40 seconds, but if you don't mind, pray for that person who's experiencing change on the outside, but God is in the change. Would you pray?
Dear God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us your word. And that is the place where every day we can soak our heart and our mind in your truth. Because when we know the truth and we begin to believe the truth, then it will change everything in our life. And so, Lord, I pray for him. I pray for her today. And God, I pray that while they feel like they're swimming and everything around them is changing, I pray that they would sense that you are picking them up and you are putting them on a solid ground and in a solid place. And you are doing it because you love them so greatly. So while they're swimming and they're moving toward the land, I pray that you would build in them a faith and a trust that they have never known before, but it is one that they will carry with them for the rest of their lives. In your powerful name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lynn Cowell, thank you for the time today. Been great. Great, great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, hour two, talking to Jamie Cabe and the foster care situation, God's Heart for the Forgotten People. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.